person came to Charles Spurgeon and said to him, "The Bible is the light of the world." And Spurgeon replied, "Well, how can that be? The world never reads the Bible. The Bible is the light of the church, and the church is the light of the world, and the world reads the Christian, not the Bible."
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello once again. We pray that you're having a great day, and we want to thank you for joining us. Today's message is from Pastor Bill's study in Romans, and it will conclude the message, In That Day, Part 2. Now, Pastor Bill.
But the blood of Jesus tells me what God thinks of me. Amen? And that's what you need to hold on to all the days of your life, loved one. Now, let's get back. I got off track there. Let's look at verse 16. Now, in that day, God's judgment here is going to be according to the secrets of men, the secrets of their hearts. Verse 16. In that day when God will judge the secrets of men by our Lord Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, meaning the one that Jesus gave, taught him there in the deserts of Arabia. So in that day, if there's anything secret, you know, the Bible's, you know, like David said, "Oh Lord, forgive me of presumptuous sins. Forgive me of secret sins." Amen. Lord, forgive me for things I don't even know about. Wash me, cleanse me totally. No, in that day, let me tell you something. There's not one thing that God has overlooked. There's not one thing that God has forgotten. They're all in God's books. Remember, God keeps a set of books on everything. He's accurate in everything that he does. No, the secrets of men, the secrets of people, that hidden world where we think no one can penetrate. God says, "Oh yeah, I know absolutely everything that you have done." The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, there's no creature, meaning no created thing, hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must, it's an absolute certainty, we must give an account. So there's that day of reckoning. Thank God we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, amen? That's a good thing. Yes, that's a place of rewards, not a place where our sins are judged. Our sins have already been judged on the cross. This is about that great white throne judgment day. All secrets are going to be revealed. Listen, you can't, everything is naked. When God says, "I see everything." He knows everything about us, everything about every person. Nothing can be hidden from him. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:24, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see, saith the Lord?" No, God sees absolutely everything. Solomon, when he penned Ecclesiastes 12:14, said this, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or whether evil." Now let's move quickly here. Now, in that day, God is going to judge everyone according to relationship, not religious profession. That's very important that we see that. See, religion without relationship is dead. Amen? See, religion can never change anyone, can never change mankind. It's impossible. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, they were coming down from the temple and they'd been working all day and they were going down. And what happened? They found a man that was wounded and beaten, half dead, and they just passed by on the other side. Why? Because religion is always powerless to help anyone, always. Religion has no relationship. Now listen, unless God's word, the truth of God's word penetrates a person's heart and changes them. I don't care what they do in life. If they go to church every Sunday, they have religion. They do not have Christianity. That's so vital that we see that. C.S. Lewis said this about religion. He said, "Of all bad men, religious bad men are the worst. Verse 17, now watch this. Indeed, or literally, but if you are called a Jew and you rely on or lean upon or rest on the law of Moses, and you make your boast in God. We could say the same thing. In other words, to be called a Jew was to be given the highest title at that time you could be given. You know, they were an Israelite. That was their nationality. Hebrew, that was their language. But to be called a Jew was the highest. Why? Because they were God's chosen people. They belonged to God. They were the only people on earth who had the word of God. They were the only people on earth who were in covenant with God. Think of that. And there they were. I mean, I can understand why they're bragging, you know. But listen, you can't trust in your heritage to escape the judgment to come. You can't. I'm a Baptist. Wonderful. But you can't trust being a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. That's wonderful. But is being a Methodist going to escape you from the judgment that's coming? Or Calvary Chapel? No, it's about a true living relationship with Jesus. Amen? Boy, that's so important. You see, we could brag. I mean, they said, we're Jews, okay? I can say, I'm a Christian. Did God choose the Jews? You better believe the apple of God's eye. But has God chosen us? Absolutely. We're the chosen people too. And not only that, do we have a covenant with God? We have a better covenant based on better promises because we have the surety of a better mediator, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, we could say the exact same things, but unless the truth of God penetrates a person's heart and they are born from above, I don't care if they have the biggest King James Bible in the world, they only have religion. They do not have Christianity. Verse 18, talking about the Jew here, and they know his will. They know what's right or wrong. They have the plans of God and approve the things that are superior, the things that are excellent. The word approve there means to test, and after it has been tested, it's genuine after examination. Being instructed out of the law, meaning the law of Moses, and are confident, boy, that you, meaning the Jew yourself, you're a guide to the blind. A light to those who are in darkness. And of course, Isaiah 42:6 says, you were to be, the Jew was to be the light to the Gentiles. But did they like Gentiles? They hated Gentiles. If they touched a Gentile, were they considered, did the Jew say, I'm unclean? Absolutely. They had to go wash and purify themselves and all that stuff. I just touched a Texan. Oh my God. You understand? No, it was horrible. And not only that, an instructor, verse 20, are literally a corrector of the foolish, meaning the lost, a teacher of babes, meaning people that are immature, having the form or literally outline, the word of God, of knowledge and truth in God's word or in the law. Israel, though, were they faithful? No, they were faithless. What did Jesus call them? He said, you're just a bunch of whitewashed tombs. Not only that, you're full of dead men's bones. Not only that, you're not a guide, Jesus said. You are a blind guide. They weren't teaching people God's word. They were putting burdens upon people. But that word there, instructor, or corrector of the foolish. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I have seen in the years that I have been a believer, and even when I was lost, how Christians will come up, it kills me, and how they'll take a wounded, lost person, a believer will, and what they do, they become that corrector of them. In other words, they lecture the lost. You need to dress this way. You need to act this way. You need to get those cuss words out of your mouth. Well, hello. You know what? Doesn't it bother you? Why don't they say, let me tell you that God loves you. Let me tell you that God wants to forgive you, that he wants to cleanse you. You know what? God doesn't say for anyone to come to him and say, quit cussing first. Don't chew red man tobacco anymore. Do you understand? Jesus said, you just come to me just the way you are with everything that's wrong with you because you can't fix it, but I can. I can make you a brand new person on the inside. Behold, all things have passed away. All things become new. That's what happens when a person is born from above. Amen? Do you know that we could read verses 17 through 20 like this? It says, another version. It says, indeed, you bear the name Christian and rest on having the gospel and make your boast in Jesus and know his will. Approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the gospel, the entire New Testament, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having in the gospel the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Same for us. Amen. See, we either have religion or we have relationship with the living God. Now, Paul, look at his questions quickly in verse 21. You therefore who teach another, he's talking to the Jews now, do you not teach yourself? In other words, you preach that a man should not steal, and do you steal? Do you commit adultery? He says, do you abhor idols? Do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law. In other words, you know what God wants, what he demands, right and wrong. You know it. Do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Now watch what Paul says. For the name of God is blasphemed, and blasphemy was the worst sin to the Jew, okay? Blasphemed among the Gentiles, meaning the nations, because of you. Paul is quoting Isaiah 52, verse 5. He's giving them the word of God. In other words, you know, they were teaching right doctrine without any right practice. In other words, they had the talk, but they didn't have the walk. They possessed the law, and that's one thing to possess the word of God. But you know what? They did not practice what the word of God said. They were dead. They only had religion. They did not have a living relationship. And the Gentiles during that time, back in the New Testament, they knew that they weren't doing what was right. I mean, they could see it, and they're like some church people. You know, they have a great talk, but they don't have any kind of walk at all. Did you know that you and me, we're the only Bible the lost will ever read? Amen? That's true. You know, Spurgeon, a person came to Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, and said to him this, the Bible is a light of the world. And Spurgeon replied, well, how can that be? The world never reads the Bible. The Bible is the light of the church, and the church is the light of the world, and the world reads the Christian, not the Bible. Amen. Verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable, meaning it's of value, but only if you keep the law or you're in obedience to the law, which no human has ever done. But if you are a breaker, you walk in habitual disobedience, in other words, a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. In other words, it's absolutely valueless, and you're no different than a pagan. He's telling to the Jews, you're no different than a pagan. You're no different than a Gentile. Quickly. Remember circumcision. We studied that out through the book of Genesis there. It's the covenant, if you will, the sign, the seal of the covenant that God made with Abraham and Abraham's descendants. It's an outward symbol, the circumcision. It's an outward symbol that they were God's people. Now, we know that it is a visible sign. Once circumcision occurs, it's a visible sign, the removing of the flesh, in other words. But it's symbolic to us is that of separation, of not walking in the flesh, of walking in the spirit. It's also symbolic to us of that of baptism, all right? The rabbis taught this, that no circumcised Jewish man would see hell. And circumcision saves us from hell. The Midrash teaches this, the Jewish Midrash. It says, God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised would be sent to hell. Abram sits before the gate of hell and never allows any circumcised Israelite to enter. Well, we know that's not true. No. In other words, the Jews trusted in a work of the flesh. They trusted in their circumcision. Paul says, circumcision is absolutely useless. It's absolutely worthless if something hasn't happened in your heart. Look at verse 26. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man, meaning a Gentile, any one of the nations, keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? In other words, God would look as favorably upon him as he would look upon a Jew that had been circumcised. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, talking to the Jew now, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Meaning, hey, the Gentiles are going to judge you. Now, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You know, the word praise there, that's Jew. That's the word Jew, Judah. They get their name from that. Now listen. You say, Bill, that was difficult to read. I don't really get it. Okay. God says nothing outward ever makes a person in right relationship with God. Amen? In other words, it doesn't make a person a Jew. It's only when the heart is changed. That's all that matters. Moses commanded the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 10:16. He says, therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and don't be a stiff-necked people any longer. See, it's the heart, not a ritual, talking about religion and true relationship. It's the heart, not some ritual that saves a man. Amen? There's the only way. You have to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, then you'll be saved. See, circumcision doesn't get a person to heaven. It doesn't make a person escape the judgment that is coming. Nor does church membership, nor does water baptism, which people today hold so dearly. No, no, loved one, listen. Water baptism is an outward expression of something that has already occurred in the heart. Amen? That's so important. Water baptism may shake some of you up. I hope it doesn't. But water doesn't save anyone. Water baptism doesn't change anyone. The Bible tells us that if you go back and study, I think it's Genesis 17, the Bible tells us that when God made that covenant, in other words, the seal of the covenant, which is circumcision, the sign of the covenant, Abraham was 99 years old, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the day that they were circumcised, okay? Very important to remember that. Now, if you study out the life of Ishmael, after he was circumcised, did his life change? No. He was a rebel to the very end and continued to be a rebel. Circumcision then is only the sign of the covenant, and it did not make Abram righteous before God. That's so important that we see that. See, whenever people, religion, now listen, whenever people say, well, I go to church, I have a Bible, I partake of communion, and I've been water baptized. I say, that's wonderful. But do you have a living relationship with Jesus? That's what's important. You see, Abraham was declared righteous before he was ever circumcised. Amen? Oh, that's important. So important to see. Listen, I was declared righteous and right standing with God over 40 years ago. There on that day on the beach when Jesus came into my heart and saved me, I was judicially declared in right standing, just as I have never sinned before Almighty God. And the spotless, sinless Son of God, his righteousness was imputed into my account. Now listen, I am just as saved today as I was over 40 years ago. And in all that time, all the ups and all the downs, sins and all the other things that have occurred in my life, my righteousness has never changed because it's not mine. It's Jesus's righteousness. Amen? Do you see that? But let me tell you something. That righteousness occurred before I was ever baptized, before I ever became a member of a church. Are you following me? How important this is for us to know that. The rite of circumcision, when that occurs, did you know, is it an unchangeable thing? Hello, it's an unchangeable act. You know, here's the thing. The seal, the sign of the covenant. But our seal, did you know that our seal is permanent? Just as circumcision to the Jew was permanent. You cannot change it. It cannot be undone. Listen, we were circumcised the moment we came to Christ, in our hearts. You can't change that. The day that you came to Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians chapter 1. Amen? You can't change that. It is absolutely permanent. And listen to me, God doesn't seal anyone that he's not going to change. He doesn't do that. No. The Bible says in Colossians 2:11, it says, in him you were, that's past tense, in him you were also circumcised, that cutting away of the foreskin of the heart, if you will, with a circumcision made without hands, not physical but spiritual, that divine surgery from our Lord, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. How? By the circumcision of Christ through his death, his resurrection, his crucifixion, and so forth. Listen, all of that now was cut away. That old nature, that old man, true circumcision is inward. It is never outward. Now listen, water baptism does not impute righteousness. Baptism says God's righteousness has already been imputed. That's why a person is baptized. Does that make sense? That is so important to know, because see, so many people say, well, I was baptized or I was sprinkled as a child. That doesn't work. That doesn't save a person. No, no. Romans is good news. Boy, I'll tell you, beware of religion. The Bible says in Philippians 3:3, for we, meaning Christians, we're the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. You know what religion is? Circumcision, you know, it's painful. Religion is painful. Did you know that? They always want to cut you just a little deeper. They always want to make you feel just a little lower. Come here, let me cut on you a little bit more today. Let me, as Paul said, let me mutilate you. Do you pray? Yes, I pray. How much do you pray? 10 minutes? 10? Only 10? Brother. Oh, I pray an hour at morning, an hour at lunch, an hour in the evening, and an hour before I go to bed. Well, hallelujah. Religion just wants to just, you know, you need to save yourself a little bit more. You need to just hurt yourself a little bit more. That's why religion always puts a person in bondage. Listen to me. I'll tell you that unless God's truth penetrates a heart and they are born from above, all they have is religion. They do not have Christianity. Baptism is a command. Baptism doesn't save you. It's good that you, well, you want to follow, but it can't save you. Church membership is wonderful, knowing to where you're plugged in and you're committed and you're connected, but that doesn't save you. Tithing is certainly vital. You don't want to be a God robber. That was the Holy Spirit. I felt the anointing. The only time I felt a whole service. But that can't save you. It can't help you escape the judgment that's coming. No. In that day, a person will either have religion or he'll have relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. You know, the Bible says, it says in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, and let me go put it a little bit more, or any ritual, baptism, church membership, whatever, nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creation. That's it, a new creation. I read a sermon, and I know it's time to go, and I'm going to get you out of here right now. But listen, I read a sermon by George Whitefield. Remember, he old, long ago teacher, revival guy. Anyway, he told in this sermon that I was reading about this terrifying dream where an angel transported him to the gates of hell. And when he arrived, let me read to you now, he cried out to the gatekeeper, he says, have you any Methodist in hell? Yeah, we have plenty of Methodists down here. Have you any Lutherans in hell? Oh, plenty of Lutherans. Well, what about Catholics? Well, hell is filled with Catholics. Well, have you any Baptists in hell? Oh, more than we can count. Have you any Presbyterians in, oh, by the hundreds. Have you anyone from Calvary Chapel? Millions. Whitfield leaves. He couldn't stand it. Suddenly he found himself, it says, transported to the gates of heaven where he met St. Peter. And St. Peter, he said, oh, do you have any Methodists here in heaven? No, no Methodist here. Well, do you have any Catholics in heaven? No, I'm sorry to say, no Catholics have ever come this way. What about Presbyterians? No, no Presbyterians. What about Baptists? Not one in all those years have ever been here. I'm just reading what he wrote. Any Lutherans? Whitfield cried, no, there's none. Whitfield cried out, well, who have you in heaven then? And the answer came back and he said, Christians, only Christians. Only Christians go to heaven. Only those that are in Christ go to heaven. Don't trust your denomination. It's wonderful what God has done through certain men, but a denomination or an affiliation like Calvary does not save. Only Jesus saves. There's no other name, not the name Baptist. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not being critical of the Baptist. But, you know, they didn't die for me. Man didn't die for me. A denomination didn't die for me. Jesus, the Son of God, died for me, took my shame, my sin, and my guilt, and has written my name and your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? And we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. It is never by ritual or religion. It is only by relationship.
We'll continue Pastor Bill's study from Romans when we return tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks, everyone, for the privilege of your time. We appreciate you so much. May the Lord bless you today. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.